Welcome to another inspirational message from Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message blesses and encourages you.
Bethany family, we haven't been able to be together, and so I haven't been able to encourage you in the same way that I might normally, but it might feel a little strange and a little different when you're at home seated in front of a computer screen instead, but would you, for just a moment, worship the Lord with me? Would you just, in a heart of surrender, lift your hands? And let's, for a moment, wherever you are, let's just seek the Lord. Let's offer our hearts to Him in surrender. Father, we offer our lives to You. We offer all that we are to You. Father, we're not able to be together, but we know that You are with us. We know that You are among us, nevertheless. We know that You're not limited. And so, Father, where we are, we worship You. We don't want to miss the moment to worship You. Lord, we're not limited in where we can worship, and we thank You for that. We thank You that Jesus has made the way that we can enter Your presence right where we are. Wherever we're at, God, in our living room or our bedroom, Lord, in our kitchen, Lord, we can worship You. And so, Lord, we worship You in spirit and truth, with hearts that desire to know You. We worship You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You for worshiping with us tonight. You know the deal, that there are not ushers coming down the aisle right now. But I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, because during this season, you've been incredibly faithful, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for God's faithfulness and for the faithfulness of His people. You know that you can give online at bethany-ag.org. You can text BethanyAG to 73256, and that will enable you to give via text. You can also send offerings to P.O. Box 422 here in Agawam, and we will get those. And we want to say thank you so much, because you're enabling us to continue the work of the ministry during this time. And I know I've said this over and over again, and I said it because I believe it. I believe that the Lord wants to prepare us for a new season of ministry when this is over, and you are helping us as you give to lay a firm foundation for that. And so thank you so much for your continued faithfulness in giving. There's a lot that's coming up toward the end of this week, and I want to give you just a little update on a few of the things that are going to be happening so that you can participate. And so this coming Friday evening at 7 p.m., we'll be having a Good Friday communion service, not here in the building, but online. So if you want to participate, I encourage you to grab some grape juice as well as some unleavened crackers or unleavened bread, and prepare that. And then at 7 p.m. you can tune in either on the Facebook page or on our website, and you can participate. I've led my family through communion, and we will share that with you so that you can also participate in leading your family or yourself in communion from your home, and we can celebrate the Lord's death together. Then, of course, on Sunday we're going to celebrate the resurrection, Easter. And there's something special that I'm going to do early that morning. We're going to have a sunrise service at 6:14 a.m. because that's when sunrise is on Easter. And so that's going to be online as well. But tune in at 6:14. Here's the deal. It's going to be kind of a special thing. It's going to be a little rustic, if you will. And we're going to have a few songs and just a brief reflection on the empty tomb. And it's not going to stay up for long. In fact, as soon as the 9 a.m. service starts, we're going to pull that video down. So if you want to participate, you've got to get up early and participate. It's a sunrise service for a reason, so you've got to get up and do that. Then we've got our services on Easter Sunday morning, and we want to encourage you not only to tune in yourself, but to share. We've got a special link on the website. If you just go to the COVID-19 page, you will see there a video that you can share with your friends on your social media pages, or even via email or whatever way that you use to share with them this invitation to our service on Sunday morning, to both of our services Sunday morning. And then we've got a few other things going on, including some kids' activities that are available online. We've got a special Easter hashtag that we're going to be using so that we can connect, hopefully, with you, since we won't be able to see you in your fancy Easter clothes. Maybe we can get a picture of your family in their pajamas or something at least, and you can post that so we can all see how you dressed up to watch Easter Sunday service, so we can enjoy one another's company and fellowship, if not here, at least from a distance. So make sure you take advantage of those things to stay connected, as well as all the other resources that are available on our COVID-19 page. Tonight, I want to talk to you about faith again, which seems like an appropriate topic at this time. Some of us have had 3 or 4 weeks now to sit around and kind of think of all the things that we could be doing better in our lives, and maybe that's been a little discouraging for you. You could keep the house cleaner. You could be more organized. You could spend your time more productively. You could learn a second language. You could exercise regularly. You could lose a few pounds. I mean, the list just goes on and on, doesn't it, of the things that you could do better. And then others are going all out in this season. Maybe you're an essential worker, and you have to go even harder than normal, and they've been called in many cases to handle issues that they might not normally handle. And we want to thank all of you for that, especially if you're working in a hospital or on the front lines. We thank you so much for that. And I don't want to add something more to either your list of things that you could be doing better tonight or to the burden that you may feel that you're carrying during this season, but I'm going to anyway. It's that you need to grow in your faith. And I think that could be true of all of us, isn't it? We need to grow in our faith. We could all stand to grow in our trust and dependence on God. And our conviction of things unseen could stand a little bolstering. Maybe you are needing faith to overcome the anxiety that you feel right now. Perhaps you need faith to trust that God is working not only in spite of, but through this global crisis. It may be that you need faith to give you courage to face your fears one more day and return to the hospital for work or to your ambulance as a first responder or to your desk as a pharmacist. And you just need God to give you strength and faith to overcome fear one more time. We've spoken a lot about faith over the last several weeks, both on Wednesdays and on Sundays. When this whole thing started, we saw how faith overcomes fear. We've spoken about faith that endures tests and trials. And now I want to talk to you about something very basic. I want to go back to kind of the fundamentals of faith and talk for a few minutes about how faith grows. Now, this isn't an easy fix. There's no like miracle grow of faith. You don't just wake up in the morning and decide, I think I'll have more faith today. Life isn't the Disney Channel. It doesn't really help us often when someone tells us, just believe. That doesn't really do anything to bolster our faith. You can't simply whip yourself up into a faith frenzy. If you can't just believe because someone tells you that you should have more faith, then how does faith grow? It grows kind of like a muscle. And this doesn't mean that faith grows simply as a result of your works, but faith grows as it is exercised, as it is stretched and then contracted over and over again. Faith is neither snake oil. It's not a quick fix. It's not a thing that's going to fix everything quickly. You can't do it like that. And it's not a five-step program either, though there are steps that you should take. So I want to look at 4 tools that will help your faith get stronger. And keep in mind that these are not just tools that we use to help our faith grow, but they're actually as much tools that God uses in our lives to help our faith grow and to strengthen us. And the first tool for strong faith is God's Word. You should get into God's Word. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says this, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now, in the context of this chapter, Romans 10, Paul is talking about faith that brings salvation, that results in salvation. For a person to be saved, they must first hear the good news about Jesus. That means they have to hear the gospel. No one can be saved apart from Christ, the Bible says. So for anyone to be saved, they must hear the good news about his death and about his resurrection. And in Romans 10, Paul uses this to make 2 points. First, we need to be active in sharing and spreading the gospel, because if people can't be saved unless they've heard the good news about Jesus, then we must do all that we can to ensure that others hear that good news. But the second point that Paul wants to make is about hearing God's word, is that it's a sort of passive activity in a way. Now, I'm all for active listening, and we're going to talk in just one moment about responding to God's word actively, which that's necessary as well, but you can't hear unless someone else speaks. In other words, hearing depends first not on you, but on someone else speaking. Saving faith depends on God sending his word to us. And the endurance and growth of faith depends on God's word to us as well. I mean, consider Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. In this book of Galatians, Paul the apostle confronts a church that had accepted some bad teaching, and they were told they needed to keep additional laws, that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. But Paul was adamant that salvation didn't depend on our works, but on hearing what God has done for us in Jesus and receiving that by faith. Listen to it in Galatians 3, 1 through 5. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And in this book, Paul talks about being perfected. In these verses, he says that faith is perfected. Faith is coming to completion, and the continued work of the Spirit and miracles among God's people are continuing to be completed. These aren't accomplished because of the works of the flesh or making yourself presentable to God, but by hearing and believing God. So we can see that not only does salvation begin by hearing the word of God, but it continues by hearing the word of God and by the voice of the Holy Spirit that is at work in our lives. God has sent his word to us in Jesus and the testimony about him. Do you remember John chapter 1, verse 14? It says this, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the word we hear in the Bible. It's the transcription of who God is most clearly revealed to us through his son Jesus Christ. Now, hearing is not the only necessary component of growing faith. You could read your Bible, you could listen to TV preachers like me now all day long with little to no growth in your faith. This isn't the only thing you need to do. Sometimes people do listen to TV preachers all day long and their faith doesn't seem to grow too much. However, hearing is a component of growing faith. Faith that grows is faith that engages God's word regularly. When you read God's word, God works in you. Sometimes you'll feel it. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes it will seem exciting to you and clear to you. Other times it won't. But when you read and you study and you listen to and you memorize God's word, you are putting yourself in the position that your faith can grow. If you don't, you are putting yourself in a position to either lose faith or to be deceived by bad teaching. We're all feeling the pressure of life right now in a unique way. We're looking for those things that are going to help us to face these circumstances and challenges with courage and with conviction. We've seen in the past few weeks that faith overcomes fear. But if you want your faith to grow, God's word is an essential component of that growth. Stay in his word. Stay connected to the teaching of the church during this time. If you aren't already reading God's word regularly for yourself, this is the time to begin doing that. I'd recommend just starting off in the Gospels. We're going to post, when the service is over, we're going to post a Bible reading plan to the COVID-19 page on the website, and it's just reading the Gospels through in 30 days. It's actually very simple. It's just 3 chapters a day will get you done with the Gospels in 30 days. There aren't dates on this, so if you miss a day, just get the next day and keep going. The idea is this, that if you start reading today or tomorrow, you're going to begin finishing up that gospel about, hopefully, the time we exit or begin to see a decline in this critical period of this crisis. And you will have a new formed habit and a godly place on which to build your faith. And now let's move just beyond hearing and get to kind of the nuts and bolts. You can have stronger faith by getting into God's word, but you can also have a stronger faith by practicing obedience. After you've heard God's word and perhaps prayed that word, you need to then do the word. You've got to obey. That's part of faith. James, Jesus' brother, who didn't believe he was the Messiah or the Son of God until after Jesus was raised from the dead, he put it like this in James 2, 14 to 26. He said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Now, this passage confuses some people because they've been told that salvation is by faith alone and not through works. And that's true. And the Apostle Paul says that explicitly. However, when we read the Bible, we must read its books and its authors in their context. When Paul says that salvation is by faith, he certainly doesn't mean that faith doesn't produce works. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says that God has good works planned for you to do. He tells Titus, a young pastor in the book of Titus, to be a model of good works and to teach others to be zealous and ready for every good work. Here's what we can say. Salvation does not come through our works, but if we have genuine faith in Christ, good works will be the product. Salvation is not the product of good works, but good works are the product of salvation. In the passage we read from James, he says that works complete our faith or perfect our faith. If we have genuine faith in Christ, then our faith is going to produce works. Works, that is, obedience to the word of God revealed most fully in Jesus. That is the outcome and the evidence of faith, obedience. Obedience to God in this world will always require faith. Abraham believed God because, or Abraham obeyed God, rather, because Abraham believed God. It took faith. We can say this as well, that obedience helps our faith to grow. Because when we obey, we learn that God's word is true and that God is faithful to his promises. You fall in love with a woman and you want to be with her, but you read in God's word that sex is for sealing and keeping a marriage. So not because you thought it would be fun, but out of obedience to God who has saved you, you decide to abstain until marriage. And it may not be for years and years until you recognize the benefit of trust and trust in God and of honoring marriage the way that he decided. But eventually, your faithfulness to God's ways and how he intended sexuality to function will bear fruit in your life. And this is why tithes and offerings are important as well. They are more than a financial benefit to the church. They are an opportunity for growth in our faith. There will always be things that you can think of to spend your money on other than bringing money to church or giving it to those who need it. Instead, this is a matter of priority. And we shouldn't kid ourselves. Prioritizing God in your finances is not a matter of how much you have. Instead, it's a matter of obedience in faith. You don't give to get rich. God doesn't promise to make you rich if you give. The motive for tithing shouldn't be that God is going to pay you back. The motive for giving to God and His work is that you trust God when He tells you that life is not about what you own, but about relationship with Him. And so in obedience that is born out of your faith, you give because you're saying through that giving, life is about my relationship with my Father. You know that some people trust in their money, but you trust God, and so you obey in giving. And the same thing could be said for any number of the commands that God gives us in His Word. Honesty, or lust, or retaliation, or generosity, or courage. All of these are matters of trusting God when His ways are opposite our habits and opposite our inclinations. And as you learn to obey, you will learn that God's ways are better and higher, and your faith will expand as you see that His ways are the right ways. God has not only given us His Word to build our faith, He's not only given us the ability to obey His commands that stretches our faith and helps it to grow, but He's also given us the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God lives in you. We believe that the Bible teaches that there's a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life after you're saved called baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is accompanied by the often misunderstood practice of speaking in tongues. I've done it before, but tonight I can't take time to go into all the detail of what that is and kind of back that up through the Word of God in detail. But to put it simply, we believe that the Scripture teaches those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit are given the ability to speak in a language they never learned, whether human or unknown. Now, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. We know that Paul wasn't suggesting that speaking in tongues is a bad thing because he wrote, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you," in 1 Corinthians 14, 18. The book of Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." How do you keep yourself in the love of God? One of the ways that you keep yourself is clearly praying in the Spirit. Now, some may object that Jude wasn't talking about speaking in tongues, but that's really only a concern for someone who doesn't believe that baptism in the Holy Spirit is accompanied by speaking in tongues, because if it is, then certainly speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. Some may say that he's talking here about sensitivity in prayer, by which a person prays according to the will of the Holy Spirit. And I would say that that's good, but speaking in tongues does qualify for that as well. So Paul says we can build ourselves up, and Jude, that we can keep ourselves in God's love by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. That sounds important, doesn't it? Building yourself up, keeping yourself in God's love. This is an interesting facet of speaking in tongues, because often when we think of something the Holy Spirit does in our lives, we think of a quick jolt, like a lightning strike, a momentary phenomenon, something swift. But that's not at all what Paul or Jude refer to, do they? Instead, they refer to things that are steady and strong. You might not think it, but the Bible says that praying in tongues will help to solidify your faith and keep you in God's love. This isn't an overnight thing. Instead, it happens day by day. As you pray in the Spirit, the structure of your heart grows and is solidified in faith. Not only does praying in tongues build up your faith, it also helps you to overcome the attacks of the enemy. Because look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6:18. He says, after he's listed the armor of God, he says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Again, you may say that he doesn't mention tongues specifically, and I would simply say that at the very least, tongues qualifies as praying in the Spirit. You might not always think of it, but praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues will solidify your faith. It'll steel it up. It'll keep you in God's love. Those are things we all need all the time. But it seems that we particularly need those things right now. I can tell you from experience that praying in tongues is encouraging and faith building. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, why not seek God for that now? If you desire all that God has for you, you read his word in the book of Acts and find that this was common in the early church, and you seek God to fill you, to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. This is his promise that he will do that. Ask him to fill you, to increase your faith, and to make you more effective in witness for him. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the question is simple. Are you praying in the Spirit regularly? Don't allow the world's judgment that this is weird to keep you from experiencing God's blessing. I mean, look, I know we've all been on the internet pretty much all the time for the last 4 weeks, even to come to church. And if you haven't seen a weird thing or two from the world on the internet yet, you will. And I don't want to judge my life based on what the world says is cool and what the world says is weird, because they think a lot of really strange things are cool, and a lot of really bizarre things they call really great, and they call a lot of really good things weird. So we don't judge our lives or our practices based on what somebody else thinks about it, but on what the Word of God says. And I want to encourage you as a believer, this is a time to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues in the prayer language that God has given you if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that your faith can become stronger. And finally, God's Word builds us in faith. Obedience to his word builds our faith. Praying in the Spirit, all these are tools of growing faith. But the last one is this. This is one more tool that God uses in our lives. And I know it's the one we can all relate to right now. It's trials. You should leverage your trials. Let's read a couple of passages. I think you'll get the idea from these passages. James 1, 2 to 4 says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7 says this, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials and tests help to grow our faith when we submit to them and endure. They're leverage for our faith to grow. I'd put it this way. You should leverage your trials. Don't waste the present moment. Don't waste the present test. God is wanting to use it to grow your faith. It's easy to confuse a temptation and a test. The difference between the temptation and a test is intention. What your enemy, the devil, intends to do with a temptation is to harm you. But God allows those temptations and he turns them for good. God even brings tests into our lives to test our faith so that we can grow in that faith. And when you endure through that test, rather than giving into that temptation, you find that God is faithful. And right now, we're in a test. It feels like everything is a test right now. It's a test to see how our faith will withstand difficulty. It's a test of whether we will follow Jesus when we're separated from others. Remember the old song, though none go with me, still I will follow? Well, we're all still together in spirit, but maybe you're feeling a little isolated, and the current test is one of your faith. Will you follow Jesus when there aren't people around you constantly to cheer you on? Because look, ultimately, you don't depend on me. You don't depend on a worship team. You don't depend on a service. You don't depend on this building. You depend on Jesus. And right now, there's a moment that he has granted you that you can say, I'll be faithful to Jesus when I don't have all of the things, the trappings that I normally love and enjoy that help to propel my faith. I'll still be faithful to him, and Jesus will grow your faith right now. It's a test. It's a test. Are you passing the test? How would you grade yourself so far? What do you think God is trying to teach you right now? Here's the good news. If you feel weak and you don't think that you're passing the test. There is one who was tested to the very end. He was tempted in every way that you have been, yet he was tempted without sin. He endured the cross for you. This means that when you fail, even if you'd say, man, I'm not doing very well in this test right now, you can come to Jesus for forgiveness. What profound freedom that is. That's freedom to live without fear of failure. And it's also freedom from sin, because his death applied in your life through the Holy Spirit can help you to withstand your tests and come out with faith that is refined. Faith can be confusing, especially when we're told things like, just believe. However, God doesn't leave us to just try and have more faith. He doesn't just tell us to whip up faith internally. He doesn't tell us to just fake it till you make it. He has given us tools, and he uses these tools in our lives to shape us, to prune us, and to grow our trust in him. So let me ask you this. When the game gets tight, when the opponent is particularly tough, what does a good coach remind his players? Does a good coach tell his players, you know what, let's try that fancy new play that we never got right in practice? When stuff gets difficult, does a coach say, hey, let's try some fancy, flashy passes now? Does he say, hey, break out your most difficult moves? No, when a game is difficult and you're facing a particularly challenging opponent, the halftime talk goes something like this. We need to get back to the basics. We need to do the fundamentals well. If we do the fundamentals and we execute the game plan, we can still win this game. And right now is a moment during this test when we need to get back to the basics. The basics of the tools that God has given us and the tools that God uses in our lives to grow our faith. That's where we're at. We have to remember the basics. We grow in our faith through God's word, through obedience, by praying in the Spirit, and through the tests that God brings into our lives. May God help us to pass this current test as we get back to the basics. Will you bow your heads with me? And let's just pray that God will enable us during this difficult moment to pass the test he's enabled to come into our lives as we go back to the basics and grow in our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity. Father, it seems a strange thing that we might be thankful for a difficulty, for a trial. And yet your word says, count it all joy, brothers, when you encounter various kinds of trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lord Jesus, we come tonight and we confess we lack. We lack. We don't feel like we've got what it takes to face the challenges that we do. And yet, Lord, we know that in you, you've given us everything we need. And so, Jesus, we ask for your strength and your help. Lord, would you help us? We pray for forgiveness, where we look and we'd say, man, I'm not really passing this test. I haven't done well so far. Lord, would you enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to use the tools you've given us, your word, obedience, your spirit, and the trial itself to grow in our faith. Father, when we wake up in the morning and we just feel burdened by the situation in the world, let us dive into your word. Father, when we don't know how to pray anymore because we've exhausted all of our words about help in this time, let us turn to you and by your Holy Spirit seek you with words that we may not understand, but we know they're coming from your heart through us. Lord, when we're struggling to keep our eyes on Jesus, help us, Lord, to obey your word so that our faith can be contracted and stretched and can grow strong. Father, let us pass the test. Lord, we thank you. You've given us a champion that's gone before us, your son Jesus. He's the author. He is the perfecter of our faith. He's already passed the test. And so, Lord, give us your grace to walk in his footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray, we believe. Amen. grow in your faith. Use the tools God has given you. Get back to the basics. We'll see you again on Sunday morning when we're going to celebrate, or, well, we'll see you again on Friday night when we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, and then again on Sunday morning when we rejoice in His resurrection. Until then, go in God's grace and peace.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. Like